code of silence that we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us and a river so deep. We keep pretending that there's nothing wrong. There's a code of silence and it can't go on.
Hi folks, I am Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix on July the 31st, 2009. Newcomers, look into cuttingthroughthematrix.com website, and on the front page you will find all the other sites I have up there, which should bookmark for future use in case the big servers take me down once more. And that way you'll be able to download latest talks for free. You can also, you'll see there, there's cuttingthrough.jenkness.com. That's a very dependable site. There's also cuttingthroughthematrix.net.us.ca. There's Alan Watt, cuttingthroughthematrix.ca, and Alan Watt, sentient, sentinel.ca, or EU. That's a European site, Sentient Sentinel. And on that site, in fact, you can also get written transcripts of the talks, of the audios, written in the various languages of Europe for print-up. Remember, too, that you keep me going. You are the listeners. I've never asked for money from the radio stations. And most hosts out there, in fact, I think all hosts are funded by the advertisers you hear on their shows. And often they bring them on as guests and so on, and that's how they get paid. I don't do it that way. The money that goes from the advertising from this show goes straight to RBN radio station to pay for their airtime and their equipment and their bills and engineers and all the rest of the stuff. Lots of money to keep a show going, a station going. And it's up to you to keep me going by buying that, for which I have for sale at cuttingthroughthematrix.com website, or you can donate to me through PayPal or personal check from the US and Canada. Outside the Americas, you can use Western Union, which is kind of expensive, or MoneyGram. And some people who have more imagination have found other ways to just send cash to you. And it seems to get through as well. That's all up to you. But say I need it to keep going because it costs money to do what I'm doing here and to keep all these sites up and all the rest of it. This is not a job. As I say, it's not even a career. It's a vocation. It's something you must do while you're allowed to do it. And free speech is something that really is going to be roped in very quickly in the next year or two. There's no doubts about that. So it's up to you to keep it going. And because, basically, as I say, I'm not paid by sponsors, I can also say a lot more where otherwise you're sort of hamstrung by money coming in from sponsors. So see, I'm a free agent, and I can say pretty well what I want to, almost, as I say. And those who just get the disc off the show burned and passed to them to play in their players at home, you can write to me at Alan Watt, Site 41, Box 4, Estaire, which is Estaire, Ontario, Canada. Postal code is P as in Peter, the number 3, E as in Elizabeth, 4, N as in Nora, 1, P3E4N1. Be glad to hear from you. And now that that's over, that's the worst part of the show, is just doing this repetition to keep me going, basically. But it's an essential part. People one day will not hear me and they'll say, what happens? I say, well, no one sent me a penny. And that's how it happens. Everything is supposedly free today, like television. And you realize even the advertising on the television pays for it all. It pays all those big guys you see, all those stars that you see and all the rest of it. So don't take everything for granted. The whole world isn't like that. And believe you me, when it is like that, you're not going to get the truth. Doesn't happen. You're hamstrung, you're tied into what you can say, or who you can offend or not offend. Back with more after these messages.
Uh-huh. The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
An important part of healing in youth involves your body's ability to create proteins at a rate faster than your body is breaking down. The process of creating proteins is orchestrated by amino acids and repair proteins, both of which become deficient in the typical person's body the older they get, so that by age 40, the rate of repair has declined enough that the effects are very noticeable to most people. Chrysalis is a liquid spray nutritional supplement that supplies the body an essential repair protein. By taking Chrysalis, you can potentially improve your overall rate of repair. This product is reported to have a profound track record of success. People frequently report deeper sleep, more energy, better mood, aches and pains going away, loss of body fat, gray hair reversing, vision improvement, and much more. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Go to learnthesecrets2youth.com. That's learnthesecrets2youth.com or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
We'll pay $25,000 of your credit card debt guaranteed. Since 1993, Zero Debt in 90 Days is still the only guaranteed debt relief program available. We'll either solve your debt problems in 90 days or we'll pay you $25,000. Our attorney said we could not make this promise, so we fired them and hired new attorneys, and they just love the idea.
My wife and I thought these guys are nuts, but a few months later, we were totally debt-free. This has changed our life and given us a brand new start.
So if you have too much debt of any kind, we want to pay for it. If you are facing foreclosure, we can stop it in one day and you make no payments. That's right, you keep your money. As of this date, we have stopped every single foreclosure and all of our clients are still in their homes, paying no property taxes, no mortgage, no rent, and no chance of having to move anytime soon. We will pay you $25,000 if we cannot solve your debt problems within 90 days. Call now and mention this offer to get your free copy of our 7 Debt Relief Secrets. Call 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Hi folks, this is Alan Watt, cutting through the matrix. I've talked so many times about how the big system truly works. The parallel government that Professor Carl Quigley called it, and Maggie Thatcher called it, and others who have been high up in politics or bureaucracy, when they leave their jobs, they end up in this parallel bureaucracy where they all know each other worldwide because they've all mixed and worked with each other in the past. And this is what Quigley was talking about. They form a parallel government that gets the true work done. We find that Brzezinski also touches on it when he talks about the technocrats. These people, these politicians, prime ministers, presidents, or ex-prime ministers, they become technocrats. They're given true power for the dominant minority, as Huxley called, the ones who really run the planet, those who own the resources, the big corporations. Everything you need, all the energy supplies and so on. And it's interesting, too, how they use all the non-governmental organizations funded through the series of big foundations that are often owned, the big ones, the big, big funders are owned by the guys who own, like the Federal Reserve and the Bank of England and things like that, or the Rothschild Bank in Switzerland. These are the same people. And they also own the pharma companies, too. It's amazing how it all ties in together, isn't it? But when you've talked to many federal bureaucrats in different countries, it's amazing what you find out when it comes near retirement time for them. Do you know that federal government agents get pre-retirement therapy, like lectures for about 6 months to a year before they retire. Because, you see, they've never mixed with ordinary people. They've never, ever really had to worry about the big things in life. Some of them don't even drive cars. They're chauffeur-driven. And it's relearned things. It's like putting a baby out into the street, you know. And so they get the self-therapy as to how, and intuition as to how they can pass their time in retirement. And here's what happens. They tell them to go into charitable organizations and to also move out from their main place where they all gather around, like in Canada is Ottawa and Washington, D.C., of course, and then certain areas of London and England and just outside London. They're told to move out for retirement and maybe start up an NGO, a non-governmental organization, which, of course, the governments will tell them that they approve of. In other words, it's almost a continuation of their career. They never really retire. And there's funding extra on top of their pensions you'll receive for doing this kind of work. And they infiltrate through little towns and villages across the world, these people. Very nice people. And they will eventually put little notices around or in the town hall for a little meeting, interested people in environment and so on. And that's so they're part. They're part of the technocratic, I wouldn't call them quite the elite, they're lower on the scale, but they're very necessary to get the things going. For instance, in Sudbury, this town, a mining town, not far from me, only last year it suddenly came up in the paper that there was an environmental group materialized in Sudbury. And that's who made it up, all these kind of high paycheck types, ex-exec types from government and so on. And they're pretty well advising town councils on what they can and can't do, this non-governmental organization. And that happens all over the place. See, this is all from a central head. That's what we have to understand. The power of government that Quigley was talking about obviously has a head to coordinate them all, to make sure they're all on track in the same direction at the same time. And it's the same with other people in the big upper establishment. They have no problem getting their spiels into the newspaper, their particular beef, you might say, or enthusiasm, whatever they're into or been told to be into. They never retire. This is like an added bonus on top of their big fat paychecks, you see. And to give you an example of this, I mean, we all know about how they're blaming the world now, the people in the world, for carbon dioxide. And how it's all tying into the environment, global warming. And I've gone through ad nauseum the statements made out by the Club of Rome, where the founders, Alexander King was one of them, admitted in one of his own books that he wrote with the co-founder, called The First Global Revolution, that back in the 70s, they were given the task to bring the whole world together. And they realized that it could only be done through a war-type scenario. That's when people pull together, sacrifice, do what they're told by government, even have rationing and so on. And experts come to the fore to guide the public on what to do. And King said, he said, they were given that task. They looked at all kinds of ways to get a war-type scenario going. And they thought, well, if man was an enemy of the planet, that they could convince people of this, then man would be the enemy altogether. We'd have to work against man himself. And they said that would fit the bill. Global warming would fit the bill. So they dreamed the whole thing up. And as I said before, once they start, they will never deviate from their plans, never, ever deviate from their plans. So you can always take it to the bank, whatever they say in their own books and journals. Now, here's one character here, and this is presented in the Guardian News, theguardian.co.uk, and the Observer as well. It's from the 22nd of July, 2007. Come back, 2007. It's to give you an idea how you're bombarded with articles, and you don't really notice it. It's almost subliminal, the way it all comes in, until you agree with everything that happens on TV to do with global warming and too many people and all this stuff. See, it's too many of the wrong sort of people. That's what they mean for a post-industrial era. But this article here says, science chief cut birth rate to save the earth, he says. The new museum head says lower population would cut CO2 at a fraction of renewable energy costs. So that's their answer to it. Simple economics. Get rid of a bunch of the population, right? Even though there's no relationship between global warming and CO2 rising. See, CO2 follows any warming pattern, actually follows sunspots or lack of them. It will either reduce or increase them. It's nothing to do with us. And since people were burnt here millions of years ago, causing any global warming, the same scientists will tell you, oh, there's been many periods of global warming between ice ages. Well, that happened without any of their help, didn't it? But facts don't matter here because there's another agenda at work. It says here the new head of the science museum has an uncompromising view. See, they gave him this kind of semi-retirement at a science museum. It's an uncompromising view about how global warming should be dealt with. Get rid of a few billion people. Chris Rapley, who takes up his post on September the 1st, is not afraid of offending. I'm not advocating genocide, says Rapley. What I am saying is that if we invest in ways to reduce the birth rate by improving contraception, education, and healthcare, we will stop the world's population reaching its current estimated limits of between 8 and 10 billion. When did they come up with this estimated limit? That's a nice way of putting it too. Not prediction, but an estimated limit. Limit is a different thing from a prediction. Meaning they've already got a limit on it now, you see. That in turn will mean less carbon dioxide is being pumped in the atmosphere because there will be fewer people to drive cars and use electricity. The crucial point is that to achieve the goal, you would only have to spend a fraction of the money that would be needed to bring about technological fixes, nuclear power plants, or renewable energy plants. However, everyone has decided quietly to ignore the issue. Then he goes on and on and on about how since he left NASA, you know, that big military-industrial complex, the guys who made missiles, this is what this guy was working in most of his life. Because you see these big missiles that was going to come across the sky from Russia or vice versa, from the States, have to go out of the atmosphere. And that was NASA's main field, you see. It's a military organization. They don't just put spiders up into space to see how they can mate. That's just for children to believe in, you see. It's to do with repairing military satellites and stuff like that. That's what they're up there for, the shuttles and so on. And it says here, he was given this position since 2005 when Lindsay Sharp, a Buffalo, left at £150,000. That's not a bad little pop on top of your pension, is it? £150,000 post as a museum head, following rows about financial waste and so on. But what does it say about this guy, too? He belongs to, as well, the Optimum Population Trust. That's the bunch that Prince Charles had out recently, pushing for the same thing. As I say, remember, too, that the elite have always been worried about the numbers of ordinary people, and Charles Galton Darwin put that very clearly. You know, the wrong sort of people breeding. In his book, The Next Million Years, in the 1950s, and he was a part of the scientific elite himself. He was a physicist, the grandson of Charles. So here you have the Optimum Population Trust that's made up of very white, very rich, upper elite people that this character here, Rapley, belongs to. Now, I'm going to put this link up on my site at the end of the show, plus a couple of other links as well. And it isn't until you go into what else Mr. Rapley was in. And again, he was at King's Edward School, Bath, Jesus College, Oxford, you know, up there with the Silver Spoon, Manchester University. He got an MSc in radio astronomy. And then he was at University College London, got a PhD in X-ray astronomy in 76. He was also into dealing with all kinds of detection devices. Devices which gather info right down to the chips that we're talking about these days. This character, after all, controlling people and observing them and monitoring them is very important to these control freaks. Back with more after this break.
Don't be a victim of sudden cardiac arrest due to inflammation of the arterial walls. Our hemp foods are anti-inflammatory and gluten-free and can greatly benefit the health of the human body. By calling 908-691-2608 or visiting hempusa.org, you can benefit from this wonderful natural food source. Our customers are also purchasing this natural food for long-term storage, camping, survival, and emergency food rations. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org today. Hempusa.org believes that now is the time to plan for the future, and food will be your greatest asset. People spend money on all kinds of things, but our warning is prepare now for food shortages in the future. So don't delay, call today, 908-691-2608, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more. All at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Is credit card debt stressing you out? If you're serious about regaining control of your finances, Big Solutions, the country's leading nonprofit debt management and consumer credit counseling service, can get you back on track. Whether you're behind with your payments or just frustrated with balances that never seem to go down, BSI can help you. Creditors have given Big Solutions very special repayment arrangements to help you get out of debt. These include lowering interest rates by 50% or more, bringing past due accounts current, and stopping harassing collections calls. BSI's team of certified financial counselors can consolidate all your credit card bills into one low monthly payment.
I chose BSI because they never asked for high fees I couldn't afford, and my creditors told me that Big Solutions had a great reputation.
Call the debt specialist at Big Solutions right now at 1-800-497-7722 to receive more information. BSI works with your lenders, but more importantly, Big Solutions works for you. Take control of your finances. Call 1-800-497-7722.
This is Alan Watt, and we're cutting through the matrix, just discussing how these characters, just like civil servants, top civil servants, and people like that, never retire. They're given other jobs to do within society. They're given their causes to champion because it's a policy above the elected politicians and their policies, generally, although they're both combining together, as we see these days. In fact, they basically lobby governments to get their way. They're full-time lobbyists, just like any other big corporation, all of these foundations and NGOs. But get back to Mr. Rapley. It said here that apart from all the other things he was given, you know, different directorships and so on, it says during his time in Antarctic, he helped Al Gore. So the pal of Al Gore, you see, the green man himself, with a live concert by arranging for the Rothera Research Station's in-house band, Nunatak, to perform in Antarctica as part of an event, and so on. So he's in with all the same greeny players, the big elitists that want the population reduced. Now, there's another link I'll put on my site as well. It's an excellent site. It's about foundations. And they have a green tracking library on it. You can find out who gives all the grants out to the NGOs, who runs them, in other words, and what their policies are, and what their mandates are. And it's an excellent site. There's two of them, actually, from the same site. It's got an index of foundations. It says here, here's a quote by Barbara Dudley from the Veatch Foundation. She says, It is true that the environmental movement is an upper-class white movement. We have to face that fact. It's true. Now listen to the words. They're not wrong that we are rich, and they are up against us. We are the enemy as long as we behave in that fashion. So how do they alter that? We and them and all that stuff? Well, they have to come in and try and find things in common with you, then gradually educate you see, until you've got the right ideas and the right opinions through massive propaganda. That's how it's done. I'll read that again. It's so wonderfully true. It is true that the environmental movement is an upper-class white movement. Remember the dominant minority that Huxley talked about. We have to face that fact. It is true. They are not wrong that we are rich and they are up against us. We are the enemy as long as we behave in that fashion. And on this particular link, and I'll put these links up, there's a box you can type in the particular environmental group or foundation you want to investigate, and they'll take you to it. That's very good, indeed. And there's also one from the same group. It's got at the top, the golden rule. Who has the gold rules? I took that really from a Canadian entrepreneur, the same one, by the way, that owned Alcan. And Daddy, in fact, set up the whole booze industry during Prohibition and ran the booze from Canada into the States. Then when they stopped it and let booze flow in the States and then banned it in Canada, they reversed the flow because they had the network set up. And they got Alcan with its waste aluminum oxide to lobby governments and dental associations to put it in your toothpaste. Great guys. But it says, and their dad, by the way, is the guy who had that above his bed, the golden rule, who has the gold rules. Private foundations have taken substantial control of environmental movements in America. They bring with them what psychiatrist Roy Menninger called the narcissism of the righteous, a.k.a. that I'm a better angel than you syndrome. Having money and the power to decide who gets it is intoxicating and toxic both to those who give and those who get. They live in a world that knows nothing of creating wealth, but only of spending it. But don't call it a plutocracy, which is the rule of wealth, because that will end your credibility among the plutocrats. And don't call those by who rule by wealth an oligarchy, which is ruled by the elite few, because that will end your credibility with the elite few. So we're reduced to calling them rich guys who give the money and the marching orders, and we call them the ecoligarchy. The ecoligarchy, that sounds pretty good. It says, you know, a story with a humorous ending, or an unexpected juxtaposition of two disparate planes of thought that produces a sudden insight. However, the products of the plutocracy and their ecoligarchy are not funny to the people whose lives they ruin. They destroy jobs, they destroy companies, they destroy industries, they destroy industrial sectors. Their power is enormous and dangerous. Many liberal foundations have become prescriptive. That is, they design their own programs for leftward social change and then pressure a highly orchestrated network of environmental groups to perform their projects. Some foundations no longer accept applications but only fund pre-selected groups. And it gives you cases and points of and how they word it if you want grants from them. It says numerous foundations have some version of this exclusionary policy. Prescriptive also means pressuring applicants from the open application process into programs they would not normally have originated themselves. Now, here's an interesting one, because David Suzuki, the big greenie man for Canada, the guy who said, and it's up there in Google, by the way, and I have the link to it, where he says the people are just maggots, you know, he's a geneticist. It's got the Environmental Grant Makers Association. Did you know there was one? An Environmental Grant Makers Association. It's a group of more than 200 foundations with important environmental programs. And I'll be back with more on this after this break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The new World Order Beast is genetically modifying your food.
Genetically modifying.
Mixing vegetables with animals. And now experimenting with viruses.
Viruses.
Without a long-term food solution, you will have just two options. Starve or surrender.
Surrender.
All canned food supplies will eventually run out.
What then?
Grow your own healthy food and feed your family forever. SurvivalistSeeds.com is now the nation's largest bulk heirloom seed company.
And it's owned by a real patriot,
Big John Lipscomb.
You can now have
an infinite amount of healthy vegetables like a watermelon, a bundle of carrots, or tomatoes for a little more than a penny each. SurvivalistSeeds.com. And now you can go into business with Big John at SurvivalistSeeds.com by becoming an affiliate. See his link at SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
Well, no, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
This is Alan Watt. We're cutting through the matrix, discussing how the big foundations fund pretty well all the big topics, the major topics that you hear about today. And they comprise a parallel government. You have to get the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence. It's about it, starting with the Rees Commission going back into the 1950s, the early 50s, a congressional investigation into why these big foundations, like the Rockefeller Foundation, Carnegie, Ford, etc., the ones that fund all the universities and so many other institutions that we take for granted, why they were funding what seemed to be all left-wing communistic policies. And it isn't until you tie it in with Professor Carl Quigley, who was a historian for the Council on Foreign Relations, Royal Institute for International Affairs, Canadian Institute for International Affairs, Australian Institute for International Affairs, New Zealand Institute for International Affairs. You see, they have them on all the British Empire countries. It isn't until you go into his book, Tragedy and Hope, and the Anglo-American Establishment, his other great book, that it starts to make sense to you how they really create policy. They're outside of politics, and they're not responsible to the public. And he talked about the creation of the big foundations, and that's how they fund these big groups, like the Royal Institute for International Affairs, which is a private, non-governmental organization, even though they often staff governments and civil service bureaucracies with their members. Getting back to this particular site, it's Undue Influence that has the stuff on where you can check out the different foundations. But as I say, foundations are their power and influence. During the Rees Commission, they were astonished in the 50s to find out that their job, according to Norman Dodd, who was one of the investigators for Congress and for the Senate, was told bluntly by the head of one of them, one of the big foundations, says, well, our job is to change the culture in the West, so much so that they'll blend seamlessly with the Soviet-type system. They're going back to the Club of Rome, Mr. King. The ones that dreamt up the idea of global warming, that would fit the bill to get us all under this agenda. In the 70s, you see how these tie in together. Everything ties in together. Big foundations come up with ideas, big think tanks, and their foundations too. Set a policy. They all use it, all the other ones use it together, because they're all on the same road. Using socialism, which is actually Fabian socialism, which is not for the working classes at all. In fact, they encourage welfareism so they can have more governmental agencies right into your life. There's children getting brought up now, and they call the different social workers by their first names, and they think that they're friends. I'm not kidding. It's amazing. It says here, big foundations which have a distinctly liberal cast use their tax-exempt dollars to fund everything from the environmental movement to studies supporting the welfare state to population control. It's all mixed together. When used to finance public interest group advocacy, foundation wealth can have an enormous influence on which public policy is adopted. Most significant policy initiatives undertaken today by the federal government have some foundation support, often a lot of it, and many are implemented as a task, a result of foundation-funded advocacy. Those who run big foundations represent a small, elite, insulated group, most of whom live in the eastern United States. That's what Professor Carl Quigley said too, the eastern establishment. Hundreds or even thousands of miles from the areas affected by the environmental policies they support. Foundations have no voters, no customers, no investors. They have no complaints department either. They have no wish to receive feedback from those affected by their decisions, nor are they accountable to anyone for funding policies which adversely affect the well-being of people or local economies. Tax-exempt foundation funding of environmental advocacy groups unfairly tilts the playing field against the views and input of those most affected by the policies advocated. The average citizen's voice and inputs in the government decision-making process is often drowned out by those advocacy groups, largely funded by foundations, making our government seem even more remote and less responsive to the needs of the average person. It's astonishing, but again, Maggie Thatcher referred to it. She said she now belonged to it and then she'd left government. We have Zbigniew Brzezinski in his own book, Between Two Ages, talk about it. He says they're technocrats now. They call these characters technocrats, not responsible to the public. They're given more power than presidents and prime ministers because they can get the job done. The Club of Rome also said they advocated collectivism. That's why they were merging the Soviet system with the West. It's much easier to run the masses down below them with vast bureaucracies and agencies over the top of them. And it said under a democracy, they couldn't get anything done, because the public input often stops what they want done. Therefore, they bypass public inputs altogether. You see, that's how it works. And these foundations, even though there's hundreds of them, and it'll tell you how many are in here, in fact, you know, and how much money they have. It says here, for instance, foundation assets now exceed $200 billion, half of it controlled by fewer than 200 foundations. And if you cut down those foundations to 200 that runs it all, it'll come back to only about 10. And even then you can cut them back further to about 5 main ones. Completely intertwined, by the way, at the top, with the Rockefeller Group, with the CIA, MI6, Mossad, and all the rest of it. I've read before from even America's Cultural Cold War, how the CIA ran the culture industry through the whole Cold War. By the way, they haven't given up. And in the book it said, and this is all from declassified stuff, they can tell you 50-odd years later, or 40 years later, they tell you so much of how they were altering the culture, again, to go along with agendas that the public hadn't even heard of yet. Slowly, 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 almost subliminally. But the Rockefellers, it tells you in the book, were approached often when the CIA didn't want to go through a black budget or some other thing. They'd go to Rockefeller. Why? Because Rockefeller had a big, big part in the CIA. And he would fund them privately too. And he had a whole bunch of targets he wanted taken out of Latin America because he was already taking over a good part of the food industry and the resources down there. And he literally had a list of people he wanted removed. This great benefactor to mankind, the guy who funds all the major universities across the planet, along with a list of things he'd like to get pushed and things he'd rather have not mentioned at all. You wouldn't believe what hides behind charitable organizations. You have no idea. No idea at all. And we also know that Britain, for instance, and they've had so many politicians coming up from Tony Blair onwards up to the present, pushing for GM food to be unlimited with what it wants to do, what it wants to sell to the public. You know, that stuff that's soaked in Monsanto pesticide, incredible amounts of, and they wonder why we've all got cancers and stomach problems. Well, they know. They know, of course. But again, depopulation, they say, is a good thing, isn't it? And now they're getting stuff coming out from a government agency that supposedly tested organic food compared to what they called ordinary food. You know, what is ordinary food now, I wonder? Because there is no ordinary food. It's either organic or it's GMO, you see. But it's all in the wording. And what they're trying to say in the government report is, a pro-government report by the government, is that there's no difference in health benefits. So here's the Mail Online by Jonah Blythman, 31st of July. It says, despite its obvious benefits for our health and for the environment, organic food continues to be denigrated by the political and corporate establishment in Britain. It's been out for the last few days, this government report. The food industry, in alliance with pharmaceutical and big biotechnology companies, has waged a long, often cynical campaign to convince the public that mass-produced, chemically assisted and intensely farmed products are just as good as organic foods, despite mounting evidence to the contrary. The latest assault in this propaganda exercise comes from the Food Standards Agency, the government's so-called independent watchdog. It's as good as the FDA. You know how good that is. Which has just published a report claiming that there is no nutritional benefit to be gained from eating organic produce. Those forces bent on promoting GM crops and industrialized production would have been delighted by the widespread media coverage of the agency's report, portraying enthusiasm for organic foods as little more than a fad among neurotic consumers that would pass once the public is given the correct information. But what is truly misguided is not the increasing popularity of organic food or goods, but the Food Standard Agency's determination to halt this trend and instead promote genetic modification. The new report from the FSA highlights this. For all the publicity it has attracted, the document does not contain any new material. In fact, it is just an analysis of existing research carried out by other bodies. Moreover, the organization that conducted this second-hand study, the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, is not renowned as a leading center in this field. Indeed, there is far more significant work currently being done on organic food by several other bodies, some of it funded by the European Union, although the FSA has chosen to ignore it. It's difficult to avoid the conclusion that the FSA has decided to give such loud backing to this report because it can bend the findings to suit its political pro-GM anti-organic agenda, and that's what it is. You see, when the Milner Group started up and they sent out guys like Cecil Rhodes, and they combined the groups together, they became the Royal Institute for International Affairs, that was set up always to be a counter to democracy, to bypass democracy on behalf of the already existing elites, the dominant minority. They sent them out to take over the world's resources and under a warfare strategy. And these guys were trained in warfare strategy. You go for the basic essentials, first of all. Food and water. After that comes all energy sources. You get people totally dependent on you because you will be the big boss and you will decide if they can eat or heat themselves, for instance, or drink some water. That's incredible power. And they're going to do it eventually through their big front group that they created, read Carol Quigley, to say, called the United Nations. And I'll put this article up here, the whole article for you to see at the, for the end of the show on my website. All these links will be up on that particular website. It's so interesting, too, that we're already international, and we've been trained since 2001. We have no rights. We have no privacy. And, of course, it always comes back to, well, what have you got to hide? Well, that's not the point of it. You see, we are individual human beings with the right to privacy. You have the right to what's in your own head. That's nobody's business but yours. It's your property. But they want to know everything about you. And to show you how there are no nations, and that all of the agencies, all of the intelligence agencies, are completely interlinked worldwide. If you truly were a separate nation, would you allow foreign countries to look into your own citizens' bank accounts? This article is from 28th of July 2009 from the BBC News. The Economic Union to renew U.S. bank scrutiny deal. The EU plans to renew an agreement allowing U.S. officials to scrutinize European citizens' banking activities under U.S. anti-terrorism laws. EU member states have agreed to let the European Commission negotiate new conditions under which the U.S. will get access to private banking data. U.S. officials currently monitor transactions handled by SWIFT, a huge interbank network based in Belgium. German politicians have voiced concern about the scope of U.S. bank security. The U.S. wants to have access to a new European database that SWIFT is setting up in Switzerland. The U.S. Treasury already has access to SWIFT's American database. Tracking the funding of terror groups. Terror groups. I wonder if they mean CIA and MI6. Globally has been a priority for Washington since the 11th September 2001 attacks in the U.S. But mind you, it works both ways. That means that Europe's also got access to everybody's bank account in America. That's what it also means. See, it's not just what they don't say, it's what they leave out. You're supposed to figure in the rest yourself. See, everything is a deal at the top, and they almost play the same game. That's part of it. They don't really trust each other unless they're all on the same track with the same rules. That's how it works. That's how it works. And here is from the Evening Standard, London Evening Standard. Tamil flu, right? Half of children suffer swine flu drug side effects. This is from the 31st of July. More than half of children taking Tamil flu suffer side effects such as nausea, insomnia, and nightmares, researchers said. Two studies from experts at the Health Protection Agency showed a high proportion of British school children reporting problems after taking the antiviral drugs. I wonder if this is a toned-down version, you see. What's a few nightmares sort of thing? When you look at what happened in Japan and the effects it had on the children there, severe physical effects, maybe permanent, some of them. Data was gathered from children at three schools in London and one in South West who were given Tamiflu earlier this year after classmates became infected. I wonder how they knew. The researchers behind one study said that although children may have attributed symptoms that were due to other illnesses, see, you get one person, if you put up, I've watched this all my life, or something's sweeping through an area and somebody faints in a school because they're petrified of it, the other ones suddenly get these strange symptoms. This is ongoing. And generally it ends up in the paper, they don't know what it was. It's called hysteria, that's what it is. It says this is unlikely to account for all the symptoms experienced. The research published in Eurosurveillance, I love the name of it, Eurosurveillance, looked at side effects reported by 11 and 12-year-olds, pupils in one school and a secondary school in southwest England. School was closed for 10 days in response to a pupil being confirmed with swine flu on return from a holiday in Cancun, Mexico. A total of 248 pupils took part in the study and were given Tamiflu prophylactically, preventively. Compliance with prophylactic was high, with 77% of children taking the full course, the researchers said, but they added 51% experienced symptoms such as feeling sick, headaches, and stomach aches. The researchers said likely side effects were common, and the burden of side effects needs to be considered when deciding on giving Tamiflu to children prophylactically, and so on and so on. But there's a lot more severe side effects to these symptoms if you look into the Japanese studies and what was happening to the children and Japan. And I used to think, you know, just watching occasional TV growing up, I used to study television. I'd always scrutinize it and study it. I never got lost in a story because I knew there was always a reason for the story or for a reason with how certain things were put across to the public in a certain way. And when you're being entertained, you don't realize that you're being downloaded with propaganda generally. And the greatest tool they've ever had for propaganda is television. That's why they made it a mandate that everybody in Britain had to get a TV, I think back in the 1950s. And it brought millions of used ones over from the United States with a company called DER and allowed people to pay it up every week. That was the first time allowed pay up with nothing, no collateral behind it. Ativa TV. Back with more after this message.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Hi, this is Tom DeWeese, inviting you to join us for the 10th Annual Freedom 21 National Conference in Oklahoma City, August 13th to 15th. Our keynote speaker is G. Edward Griffin, author of The Creature from Jekyll Island. You will also meet Chuck Baldwin, Gun Owners of America President Larry Pratt, a host of state legislators hot on the heels of the fight to preserve state sovereignty. And you will learn all the details behind the coming international ID and how the MEAC report fits in. Property rights, privacy rights, education, and the assault on natural health care, all will be discussed at Freedom 21. And John Stadmiller of RBN will be helping me co-host the event. You can register for the full conference or for just a day. We also offer a very special student rate. For more information, go to www.freedom21.org or call my office at 540-341-8915. The leaders in the fight to preserve our freedom are gathering in Oklahoma City this summer. I hope you'll join us at the Freedom 21 National Conference.
Restore the Republic, the social network for the modern revolutionary, activating the silent masses into action. At RestoreTheRepublic.net, we're seizing power from the globalist world controllers and handing it back to the people. RestoreTheRepublic.net, where patriots rally on the objective. The Liberty Bell tolls once again for a movement on the rise. Make RestoreTheRepublic.net your place to unify and activate the revolution.
Had about enough of the bold-faced lies and propaganda, have you?
Republic Magazine exposes the mainstream media garbage for what it is. Grab a stack and take America back. Use Republic Magazine to wake the people and crush the corporate-controlled propaganda machines. Page after glossy page of factual information to fuel the second American revolution. Get it all and more at RepublicMagazine.com.
Hi, folks. This is Alan Watt. We're cutting through the matrix, just mentioning how TV was an imperative for the British government to get into the British public, a TV in every home a long time ago, imperative to create the culture they wanted, or actually to degrade and bring it down by knowing full well that, as Plato said, monkey see, monkey do. People copy what they see on drama, on stage. And it's the same with television. You're given your culture. Well, here's India going at it, and this is from The Times Online. Ghulam Nabi Azad says late-night TV will help slow India's birth rate. India's taking a big leap forward recently because they've also said recently they're going to give everyone a national ID card. Quite a big project in India. But so is making sure they all get televisions. They want electricity across the whole country, not to help them run machines or anything. No, to get television's going, because they want to alter the culture, that's why. And believe you me, what they'll do is exactly what they did across Europe. You get nothing but sex, sex, sex eventually. The youngsters emulate it because it's all they're thinking of, naturally. It's not everything. And then there's a fallout to the sex. We need abortion clinics all over the place. Then life becomes degraded and cheap until, well, you're just another animal, aren't you? It's all a technique. It's been tried before. A few years ago, they tried that in India, too, and people were throwing their television sets out their windows in a big mass demonstration. I wonder if they'll keep doing that. Always beware of Greeks bearing gifts, they say. And when the West gives you gifts, you should run off in a different direction. Maggie from Texas, are you there, Maggie?
Yes, I am, Ellen. I was going to ask you something about something else, but I'm wondering now, does England still have a requirement that everybody get a TV?
I think they pretty well got it. They've probably got more than one TV now. But at one time you could not, so if you lived in council housing, that was 90-odd% of the public.
Oh, I see.
You couldn't get a television because you couldn't get a loan at a bank without collateral. And they made that was the first exception they made across the country, that they called them tick men could go around and collect money every week from the average household. And they delivered the house to the television. They set it up. DER was a company, which is red backwards, of course, and they brought them all in from the United States. And then the propaganda really started hitting the public until you end up with the mess we have today.
Oh, I see. Is there time for one more question?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Something you touched on earlier, briefly, I didn't quite catch. Did I understand you correctly to say that the main lobbyist for fluoride in water after the war was a Canadian who had established the liquor empire?
It was the Bronfmans.
It was the Bronfmans. It was?
Yeah, the Bronfmans owned Alcan. It was the largest aluminum factories across the country, including the States, too. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was the Carnegies and Alcoa.
Oh, I'm sure they all helped each other.
They all knew each other
very, very well.
I see. Uh-huh. Okay. I'd like to mention quickly also that I found a fascinating document. I just found it online, and it's called it's 1954 document put out by the U.S. Government Printing Office, and it's hearings of the Committee on Interstate and Foreign Commerce, House of Representatives, a bill to protect the public health from the dangers of fluorination of water. That's what they called it at the time, fluorination.
That's right.
And it's up there, and it can be read on the Internet, and it can be downloaded, too.
Okay, I'll have a look into it myself.
Yeah. Want me to send you the link?
Thanks for call. Actually, send it to me, and I'll mention it next week. Yeah.
Okay, I sure will.
Thanks, Maggie.
Sure.
You take care. Well, from Hamish myself, Hamish is my dog, Ontario, Canada. It's good night, and may your God or your gods go with you.
With recent internet.